Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel, a podcast series with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt, where we do like to update you on developments throughout the global market and macro landscape. With that, Burkhard, it's great to be with you as always. Thank you for dropping by and looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks for having me, Dan. As always, it's a pleasure.
So, Burkhard, once again, it does seem like a lot of political and election noise is moving markets and keeping investors on their toes. It's timely that you and I are speaking today. The widely awaited presidential debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. So let's jump right into it with that. How much should investors be on their toes today with this upcoming debate?
Well, according to conventional wisdom, presidential debates do not much influence elections. And yet, some of them shape the image of former presidents for long and probably also influence the election outcomes. Remember, for example, Ronald Reagan's lasting punchline back in 1986 when he said, "The nine most terrifying words in the English language are, 'I'm here from the government and I'm here to help.'" Or remember Bill Clinton in his 1992 debate when he wrote home, "It's the economy, stupid." I mean, these punchlines probably did have a lasting impact on legacies, on policies, and indeed the election outcomes back then. So, you know, arguably, I think today's debate will offer both candidates an opportunity to create a memorable narrative and also to display poise and agility. So let's see how that works out. It may influence the election outcome, but it may also just have a marginal impact. Let's see.
So with that in mind, Burkhard, what kind of guidance can you offer in as much as how should investors deal with election-induced volatility as the road to the White House unfolds?
Well, we think investors should probably rather look beyond the elections and less at the noise that precedes it. And with that in mind, I offer three simple thoughts on that. Number one, while a Trump or a Biden presidency, would it derail U.S. corporations' earnings power, their competitiveness, or the rise of a new world order which shapes our roaring 20s scenario? We think not. Biden and Trump are both big spenders. In contrast to Ronald Reagan, who clearly favored small government, they are both fiscally profligate practitioners of big government policies. Both candidates' previous terms saw powerful bull markets, reflecting the strength of the U.S. economy, U.S. exceptionalism, and helped by their record high fiscal spending. A second thought on that relates to, you know, the fiscal profligacy, call it fiscal policies, whatever you want. It's the most unusual fiscal profligacy since World War II that we have been seeing unfold under both the Donald Trump and Joe Biden administration. Some are asking, could that lead to tomorrow's next debt crisis? The answer we have is yes, of course it could. But we're also aware that somehow growth will take care of this. Time heals many wounds, yet future generations will have to pay for the new government largesse of our time. But while these concerns about mushrooming government debt, in our view, are very long term, we think a debt crisis scenario is extremely unlikely in the near term. As far as we can see, U.S. Treasuries remain the world's favorite safe assets. Their real yields are high. Their liquidity and familiarity are unmatched. Of course, we're absolutely mindful of the bond market volatility like last summer's sell-off. But in the long run, bond yields follow inflation, not temporary supply-demand mismatches. And don't forget, the U.S. still has many unused levers to fund its deficits and, proverbially speaking, kick the can down the road. Put differently, if Japan can run double the debt and deficit levels compared to the United States, then there's no reason to think U.S. fiscal spending has hit the end of the road. And that's, by the way, another reason why King Dollar remains King Dollar. And third thought, having said that, one may well expect more nuanced market reactions depending on the different election outcomes. For example, depending on the degree of raising tariffs and trade barriers, which both candidates clearly relish, one should expect repercussions from other countries. And arguably, some of the most iconic U.S. large-cap stocks could be more exposed towards such, you know, call it geopolitical repercussions than, say, the smaller, nimbler stocks, which we like also for that reason. So, to conclude, when the noise of this election causes markets to wobble, we'd rather see opportunity and volatility. The outlook for the U.S. economy remains solid. Declining inflation keeps bond yields in check. King dollar remains king dollar. And so the old truism, time in the market beats timing the market, still looks right to us. I think investors should keep a cool head and a steady hand for the months to come.
So, Burkhard, if we step outside of the U.S., further away but closer to you, two national snap elections seem to be taking voters and markets by surprise. So, with that, can you share with our audience what's going on politically in both the United Kingdom, the U.K., as well as France, and how their elections could shape Europe or move markets?
Well, that'll be a pleasure. I agree these are both critical elections, not just for France and the UK, but also for global markets. What both have in common is that calling them at an exceptionally short notice by Rishi Sunak in the UK and Emmanuel Macron in France are bold political bets. Just to clarify, the UK election is about the UK's next government, and all polls suggest that Labour will take a sweep and replace the Tories, having said that after the Tories led five successive governments. The French election, however, isn't about President Macron. He will remain president of France until 2027, when his second term finishes. It's about the French National Assembly and the government it'll form, and it was provoked by the recent EU elections. It's a bold gamble, which, according to polls, is likely to go to Marine Le Pen and her Rassemblement National, whose policy is a mix of more spending on entitlement programs, lower income taxes, and anti-immigration measures. It's also, as the name suggests, nationalist and less amenable to the European Union. So one should expect growing friction between the policies favored at the French national level and the EU bloc level. And the outcome of the two-stage French election, the first one will be very shortly on June 30th and the runoffs on July 7th, has already widened French government bond spreads against austere German bunds from their recent level of 495 basis points to now even higher than 780 basis points. But while rumors about the next European debt crisis are already making headlines, they seem premature to us. Consider this. At an aggregate level, the EU debt and deficit ratios are broadly similar to those of the US. At a national level, France's government debt to GDP ratio of 111% and its fiscal deficit of 5.5% were also similar to the US. And while Europe does not share the US privilege of funding via the world reserve currency, it does have a different advantage compared to the US. And that's the fact that, very much like Japan, almost all of France's and Europe's funding is domestic funding, which governments and regulators can always, if they want to, enforce or incentivize. And the second thing to bear in mind about the European Monetary Union, the currency union, which the UK is not part of course, is that even though they don't want to say so, the fact is its members are married at the hip and the shoulder. There is simply no acceptable way to dissolve it. There is no way a rich or a poor country can step out of the European Monetary Union without causing Armageddon. And that's why, if push came to shove, the ECB would always bail out the Eurozone faster. Remember the famous words which Mario Draghi, the former ECB president, used to end firmly the Eurozone crisis of 2011. He said, "We'll do whatever it takes. And believe me, it'll be enough." Europe's pain is the dollar's gain. Don't forget that. So look, Europe is a complicated can of worms. Its politics reflect dissatisfaction of many voters. It's also a federation of reasonably wealthy states. And John Maynard Keynes famously once said that rich countries can pursue bad policies for longer than many think. I think that holds a grain of truth at all times, including today.
Well, Burkhardt, always thought-provoking and topical, as elections are top of mind for many investors here in the U.S. as well as those around the world. So thank you for joining us today, Burkhardt, to share your viewpoints, and do look forward to keeping our listeners current on these election developments and to continue our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan, for having me. Have a good rest of the day and an exciting and interesting debate tonight, which we'll all be sharing.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.